It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, Megan Eby's hanging out with us, filling in for Tori as she's on maternity leave. And she is all about fashion. She goes all across the world and does people's makeup.
Yeah.
You go to California. I know you got regulars out there. You go do some of the stars makeup. You go to Paris. I called you the other day and you were in Paris, France.
Met Gala's coming up. I'll be there. I'm not going to the Met Gala. I'm just doing my client.
I don't know what you just said.
The Met Gala.
The Met Gala?
Oh, I got you. All right.
He's from the South.
Same.
Yeah. So when it comes to fashion, I have some of the fashion mistakes women make.
Oh, okay.
And let's see how this goes. One of the big ones is coming back. They're bringing back the jacket and necktie look.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Listen, it's a power suit.
Here's the thing. Doechii, also Nicole Kidman, Billie Eilish, they have that as part of their official merch when you go to their websites. You can buy like a little necktie.
Really?
Yeah.
They have official merch? Nicole Kidman has official merch?
That's what it says.
Wow. So,
that's crazy.
Billie Eilish does for sure, I know. But people don't say they don't expect, women to wear like a necktie with a little vest on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. It's like a power move, Makes you feel powerful.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut then.
Well, we've discussed this before. Women don't dress for men. They dress for other women.
Whether it looks good or not.
I agree.
So you think what does a power move mean to you? Like, is it like, oh, I'm so shocked that she's pulling that off right now because I couldn't do that.
Yeah, because, typically you mostly see men. You see businessmen wearing, neckties and blazer suits and stuff like that. So whenever you see a woman, it's like, oh, she means business. So you get to feel a little bit powerful, like you're on Wall Street or something,
Okay. Mm-hmm. They say childish shoes are something that's a turnoff for guys, but it's a big fashion mistake women make.
Like, what kind of childish
shoes? I guess
maybe
the pointy shoes, like with those witch shoes that's got the big major points to them.
I guess maybe. I don't know.
Or like, what that would mean.
Or maybe sneakers that.
Crocs. Okay, I have seen like people wear Crocs with all the giblets or whatever they call them in it.
Giblets, I like that.
But I can see that. But I mean, most of the time girls are wearing it just because it's in trend right now,
Okay. Scrunchies. Are those out? I mean,
they went out for a little bit, and now they're back, but I feel like they're not necessarily in style, but they're just helpful to have.
I don't think scrunchies will ever go away. they're too convenient.
Yeah, they're super convenient.
They are, but they got the big ones that have the big, the huge ones.
Yeah, because I feel like the 90s are kind of coming back now, so scrunchies were super popular in the 90s.
All right, fashion mistakes, biggest ones that women are making right now, denim on denim.
Oh, oops. I got my Canadian tuxedo on today.
Why is that a mistake? That wouldn't bother me.
Because I think that it's like when you see the Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake circa 2001 at the VMAs. So it's like everything was super denim and it's, it looks kind of goofy, but.
I guess.
I got a blue jean jacket I've been waiting to wear for 20 years now.
For guys, this is just girls, okay?
Well, if they can do it, I can do it.
All right.
You can do whatever you want to do,
whether
it looks good or not, as I said.
There you go.
Visible bra straps.
Oh, baby, listen, Nikki, my character Nikki, she loves to show her bra straps.
Well, I know, but Nikki's like a spoof character that you do on your influencer
sites. I don't think I could ever. I don't love whenever you see bra straps. I'm not a fan of that. However, you see some celebrities do it. So you'll probably make its way back.
Okay, but how about if you see it at Walmart?
It's on trend.
That was an accident.
It's probably barely hanging on.
it fits.
That bra strap is working, y'all. Okay, clothes that are too tight.
Oh, God. I feel like a lot of people do that because you just don't want to buy the bigger size. Like, women, you might have gained 10 pounds, but you don't want to go up in the size. You're just going to make it work.
Well, you feel like you're going to lose that 10 pounds.
I can't breathe.
You said I make it work. I think you make it worse.
Because
it doesn't look good whenever you squeeze into something.
It ends up making you look a little bit bigger whenever your clothes are a little bit too tight.
All right. In this new survey, they found the biggest fashion mistakes women make. Number one thing, what do you think it is?
I don't know.
Big hair.
Not big hair. I think that's still okay. Most guys are okay with that.
I don't know.
It is too much animal print. If you got too much animal print or animals on your clothes, butterflies or whatever.
Like from Jersey, Jersey Shore. You got to wear leopard print, you got to wear the cheetah, you got to wear the zebra,
Yeah.
You know.
The animal prints I'm okay with. Some of them are kind of like you got the leopard print and stuff like that. And then have you noticed with the animal prints for women, it's never the bigger animals that they are doing. It's not – you don't see like the
– elephant skin.
Or, yeah, or the hippopotamus skin or,
no,
or like the Jersey cow skin. You don't see that as much. Like –
I love me some leopard print.
I'd like to see a turtleneck in the wintertime. It's like a giraffe.
Yeah, there you go. Just have a big long, and you could roll the neck part of it up.
Yeah. That is funny.
Or maybe no, there's no frog print out there.
No.
Possum.
Yeah.
Skunk.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine a skunk, just a big white stripe right down the back of you?
I'd do it. I'd rock it. Let's do it.
That actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
They do it through their hair sometimes. You'll see some ladies with a little white streak of hair, just one streak through her hair.
I did that in the early 2000s. I'm a victim.
Okay.
Cruella de Vil.
Well, you're actually wearing a denim jacket today with pearls on it.
Heck yeah, I am.
Then they're just classy. All over. Yeah, no, it's funny because it's a torn jacket, but it's got pearls on it.
Okay, classy is when you have a string of pearls around your neck, not when you've like glued them onto your denim jacket to be classy.
I'm fashioned.
Honestly, I thought that your denim jacket broke out with some kind of virus or something.
It does, you know, it does have that sometimes.
It looks like it needs some to oxyseal your
some antibiotic. Yeah.
No. It's like
wow. How many you got stored up in here?
I got a
pair. She might not come back.
It looks like pimples on her denim jacket.
I do love watching pimple popping stuff, so, you know.
I'll squeeze some of them for you.
Listen, to y'all listeners, I look cute as I'll get out. They just don't know fashion.
Okay, take a picture and post it on your website.
Done and done. I'll do it.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, are you someone who does a lot of shifting? We make that clear, shifting.
Okay.
With an F.
What does that mean?
Shifting is where you change your personality or change how you behave depending on who you're talking to.
Yes.
And you know what? People do that more often than they realize.
We were talking about your work voice the other day, like how you go to work and you got to be all professional.
Well, they say a significant number of people often change the way they speak or act depending on who they're talking to. Now, some people, about a third of them say they do it sometimes, a third of them says rarely, and then about 25% of them, one out of four, say they never change who they are. Those people are probably lying.
That's got to be so taxing, though, to have to change who you are and wherever group you're hanging out
with. It's not. It's natural for human beings.
Yeah.
Think about this. Whenever, for example, when you're a kid and you were around your parents, you behaved a certain way. But when you were around your friends, you behaved a totally different way.
Well, that's different, yeah.
No, it's not different. Yeah. It's exactly that.
Well, because you were hiding stuff from your parents is what you're doing
but
there.
But you were also behaving differently.
I find that if I'm talking with somebody with like an accent, I will start having that accent while talking with them.
That's funny. I've heard of people doing
that. That's weird.
Is that where you go into like an Irish bar and you just start speaking Irish?
Literally,
like an Irish accent.
If somebody's super northern, I start speaking with a northern accent. If somebody's super southern, my accent gets deeper. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's
I'm
not anything
ball.
Wrong with you. It's empathetic.
It's multi-personality disorder.
That's what that is, for sure.
Do you think people notice it as much? They don't think they do it because I notice, you know, if I'm around friends, you know, I'll lazily talk. Is that a word, lazy? It's like I don't try to enunciate as much.
You get real southern.
But when I'm at the work event we had recently, I felt like I was enunciated more. I was trying to keep a conversation.
Because you're the radio guy.
Well, it's coworkers. Yeah. I'm not like I'm, you know, showing off, but it's it's business. It's business versus pleasure, I guess.
Well, they say this is a mostly good thing because what happens is people tend to empathize with you the more you behave like them. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
you start to behave a little more like them, they start to accept you more.
So it's image casting. I want to be who I'm really not.
No.
It's
really not.
I disagree with this.
It's actually completely built into us. It's a way for us to try to get along with people that are different than us.
Yes. Like literally Taylor Swift has a song called Mirror Ball. Like, she talks about however you act, she'll act the same way.
But that's not authentic.
How people behave.
It's not truth, though. You can agree to that. It's not like, why not be who you are all the time in the, you know, when you're by yourself and when you're out in public?
Yeah, sure.
You're in the minority. Like, most people say it's a good thing because it does help you create a bond with this person. You're not trying to change who you are consciously. You're not trying to project an image of yourself that's not who you are. You're just trying to, in a way, get along better with this person.
Yeah. I have a feeling you probably do it subconsciously and you just don't realize it. Sometimes whenever people are standing a certain way and you're talking with them, you'll start standing and doing the same thing that they're doing.
And they say, actually, if you don't do it, that's when you come across a lot of times as not having tact or coming across as a jerk, because you're just like not adapting to the room at all.
Yeah.
You're not getting like, you know, you're at the funeral and you don't get the fact that maybe it's time to tone it down just a little bit. You're going to be your authentic self, by God. So what if there's a casket over there in the corner?
Maybe, who cares?
Maybe that's why I'm a weird one. I'm the weird one. Yeah.
Maybe. So
I think truth is the best way to go.
So do you talk like the person? Like like she was saying, if they have an accent, she's going to have an accent.
You unconsciously now not everyone goes to that degree, but you may unconsciously start to mirror their talk.
See, I would feel like that would be
You just said you do it, though.
Because what if I was talking to you and every time I talk to you, I talk like this to you?
I would wonder what was wrong. I would be like, why is he talking so weird?
That's what I'm saying. If it's noticeable, somebody's going to think you're a little strange for doing what you're doing.
I think it's very subtle, but I think it's a good way of showing, like, you're trying to connect. You're really trying to be with somebody. Because if you cross your arms and you're talking with somebody, or you notice somebody else's arms are crossed, you end up crossing your arms. You don't even mean to.
I do because my hands are cold. And I know it's rude. You're not supposed to, because it's like you're blocking the conversation.
He's putting them under his armpits.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
let
then
me
I smell them. Let
me smell
Super soft.
Yes.
So, Kenny, you need to watch and see if the other person sniffs their hands, and then you'll know they're marrying
them. I'll turn around to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want them to think I'm a freak.
Hawk acts like it's some kind of a thing where you're trying to fake who you are. It's not at all. It's just a natural way to try to feel more like in common with this person.
Yeah, it's human connection, I would say.
Okay.
But if you're imitating their laughs, because even when Tori, when she's in here, and Hawk, you'll have that Scooby-Doo laugh, and I will imitate it, and she just laughs, and she goes, you're making fun. I'm like, no, it's like I'm
idolizing.
I'm enjoying the laugh. Yeah, I think it's funny. I'm not making fun of you. I just want you to know that.
I am making fun of you.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But I don't think you should imitate their laugh while you're having a serious conversation.
If we do this, it's like we're going around like robots being the same.
Yeah, be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself, and like, it's okay.
I don't think you're even understanding the way this works. You're not making an effort to not be yourself. It's a natural, you're not changing who you are. You're just making yourself fit in a little better.
But you said, the key that you said there, you're making yourself do it.
No, you're not making yourself. It's what's happening. I just said all along, this is something that subconsciously is going on.
But you and I have been yin and yang for years. I have never.
Dumb and dumber.
Wait a second. I know which one I am, at least.
Well, you know what, though? It's like if you say that, because you have that gravitational pull, like I should be smarter hanging out with you.
That's not what it says at all.
Because I start acting like.
I got you, Tom.
We got Dumb and Dumber, all right.
Okay.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, Tori is out on maternity leave. Megan Eby is filling in for her.
Yes.
And we certainly appreciate you hanging out. But we're checking in with Tori to see how things are going. And we've got her on the line this morning. Tori, what's things like?
Sleep deprived, but good. Really good.
Yeah.
Is that the worst thing? That's the first thing on the top of your mind is I'm not getting enough sleep because baby's up at night.
My brain isn't even operating anymore. It's running on a little bit of coffee and a lot of hope.
Really? Like this? So he's not sleeping?
He is. So I'm thinking that he's got the same dairy allergy John does.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
I kept him up all last night. So
we had that with my son. My son was, we didn't even realize it. My wife was drinking milk like crazy and she's breastfeeding. So my son's getting all this milk, like from cow milk, passed down lactose. Yeah. And so we finally did the exclusion diet. So basically cut out almost everything and then worked our way back up and dairy kicked it right back in.
So milk does the body good or doesn't?
Did not do the body good if you had an allergy.
Apparently milkshakes from Culver's very much do not do the body good.
No.
Oh, no.
But see, if John drinks one at the same time the baby does, he can stay up all night with the baby.
Yeah, I would think any allergies John has, you got to make sure the baby doesn't have, because that's a possibility for sure.
Yeah, it's fun troubleshooting with a whole human.
Yeah, especially when they can't tell you what's wrong.
I know. He's crying. I'm crying. We're all crying.
We're all crying.
So are you like going to the internet for ideas or maybe your mom or?
I can tell you what she's not doing. She ain't called none of us.
That's true.
She's not, tired.
No baby
sleep.
Advice from us.
Well, you know, I do appreciate y'all's advice all the time. That's good advice.
Well, we got Megan Eby and she's been helping out a lot with you being gone too.
Yeah.
I've heard. Megan, you sound so good. Thank you for stepping in.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I love you. I just hope that you're doing good.
Oh, yeah, girl. You know, you got kids, so you get it.
No, I know. But also, like, mental health. How's your bottom feeling after having a baby? How's
oh, my
your,
Lord.
How's everything feeling? Let me know. I need to know.
You call her. You don't do it now.
Oh, my goodness. This is like a girl's night out.
Appointment after you have the baby. When you're, like, struggling to get to the pediatric appointment and he's in diapers and you're in diapers.
Oh,
and
wow.
And your boat's just, like, barely making it.
Whoa. Yes. Oh. You're leaking from places. Everybody's
oh,
everybody's
my
just
goodness.
Crying.
No.
Listen,
women.
Having a baby is natural.
Stay alive.
Wait just a minute, though. Most guys are not in these kind of conversations.
I'm no kidding. Nauseous. I'm just going to turn myself into HR right now.
This is why we deserve push presents.
Yes.
Because the struggle is so real after having a baby.
You know what, though? But the guys have to put up with you.
Oh.
Whoa.
Least of our worries. Get out of here.
I'm sure John does not feel that way.
He's not that bright.
I wasn't listening. Michael started sneezing, so I totally tuned out.
Good. That's Steve Hawk. Don't listen.
Thank you, Michael. okay.
So how old is Michael now?
We just passed the 3-week mark.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I know. Time is flying.
How's the longest period of time that he's been sleeping? Like, what? How many hours that he slept?
There's no such thing as sleep.
Oh, I forgot. John's on here with her.
That's what John said last time we talked to him.
Honestly, aren't you guys tag teaming? You get to sleep when John's up with the baby and vice versa?
Yeah. I tag team the diapers and John tag teams the snoring.
Listen, I feel the rage that you're feeling right now. I get it.
Wait. I don't understand.
Like when you're breastfeeding and the baby's crying and like the husband is just like literally just laying there sleeping because he's like, oh, the baby don't want me. But you're like, can you just be up with me? Because I'm literally struggling.
Oh, my goodness.
Help
ridiculous.
Me. Please bring me the baby.
Honestly, he gets up. He'll hang out with us and stuff. But it's kind of that thing of like, I'm the only one who can feed him. I'm the source. I'm the cafeteria. So
I feel like if you can have 4 hours of uninterrupted sleep, you're going to be like Snow White. You'll be able to hear the birds singing. You'll be able to hear like everything. You'll be able to smell colors once you get a 4-hour stretch of sleep.
Megan, I got to tell you, if the birds sing right now and wake me up at any point, I'm not going to. It is. Oh. But you know, it's crazy because I was telling John, I'm like, he is literally the source of why we're so grumpy, why we're so irritable, why we haven't slept. But at the same time, I look at him and I'm like, I just want to cuddle him and make sure he's okay and like give him everything he needs. It's the craziest feeling.
Yeah, and it's going to keep going. That keep on happening in different ways as they get older.
Oh, yeah. You'll be grumpy when they're teenagers, too. Just saying.
You have plenty of time.
Well, we are so glad that you guys are doing well. We love hearing about everything that's going on.
Yes.
We want to see some pictures. When are you going to post some more pictures on social media?
I don't know. I'm just kind of enjoying having him to myself.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm being so selfish with him. And we'll look at each other and think, we should post. And then we're like, no, I don't want to. I don't want people in this right now.
Yeah, but your parents have called and asked to see the baby's face. So we were just asking for them.
Well, like I say, we're glad that everything's going well. We're looking forward to you having some great times with just the three of you guys there enjoying this. And then whenever you get ready, we're ready for you to come back.
Yeah, because these two kids over here are wearing me out.
It's going to be the big reveal.
I know, Kato. You got your hands full.
I've had some help, so that's a good thing.
My diaper needs changing.
Oh, gosh.
Lay down.
I'm not paying enough for this.
All right, Tori. Well, you and John and Michael, take care. We love you guys.
Love y'all. So good talking to y'all.
You too. Take care.
Get some sleep.
Oh, girl. Amen.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I was halfway listening while the songs were playing, and I think you guys were talking about bartenders or bars.
Yeah.
Or that's a tough job. You have to drink. You drink a lot with that.
Well, some bars won't allow their employees to drink.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to get great service, you know to always buy the bartender a shot.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, okay.
And some of them will actually say, can I put it in the hole, which means put it aside for when they get off work.
Oh.
So you pay for it and they drink it
I
later.
Got you. Well, I was stumbled on this after I heard you guys talking about it. It's people in these professions are most likely to drink the most.
Really?
Radio. Yeah. No, not.
That's just you, Kato.
Radio. Media was mentioned, though, lower on the list.
Actually, it's not. I was at our company party recently. Yeah. Not the only one.
He's right.
Number one occupation is miners. Miners. So.
Really?
And they shouldn't be drinking. I guess somebody has to buy it for them.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Oh.
No.
Oh, that was funny, right?
The mining industry apparently is one of the top-rated places where the guys are just down there in the coal mines and they want out a drink.
Top-rated, really?
Or top-surveyed.
I mean, I don't imagine they're doing it on the job and because of the job they're doing it. But I wouldn't. That's one job I don't think I want a hangover.
I don't want that job. I've seen some of the stuff on that, and those guys. There's a guy on YouTube, and he goes and explores abandoned mines.
Nope.
And some of those mines, you can't even stand up. You're crawling or squatting to get through there. And then you see these rotten boards that look like they're holding up parts of it. Those guys, I don't know how they do that.
I don't either.
I guess they're just really stressed from their job.
Of course.
Like, well,
yep. I
really
would be wondering if the roof was going to collapse on me every day and wondering whether I've caught black lung yet or not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number two on the list, construction workers, people that are building these buildings.
That explains a lot about my house.
You know, when you go in and you find them and you're walking through your house as they're building it, you'll see like beer cans and soda cans. Like sitting on like not the rafters but the
like the, inside the walls.
Yeah, the studs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I'm
what
like
the heck?
Can you remove that can before you sheetrock that wall,
dude,
please?
Dude, that's insulation.
And a lot of them don't.
No, there's no reason to, really.
I don't want a Pepsi can back there and ants get
it. Might
to
be
it.
Worth a fortune in 20 years when you do a redo there.
17% of construction workers are considered heavy drinkers.
Oh. So, okay.
So remember that next time you buy in your house. All right, number three, hotel and restaurants. People that work there.
I get it.
People working in food and accommodations, they came in three.
That's what Cato's basically talking about.
Kind of, yeah.
So that makes sense because they are all around that all the time. They're in the business of where drinking is part of their job almost.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people in these professions are most likely to drink most art and entertainment, and that's also media, people like that. You think of entertainment, is that like the rock stars that are on the road?
Maybe.
Or
it's us.
Cheers, y'all.
Yeah.
It's literally us. It's people that are in the media and entertaining, and that would be like rock stars. It would be like us.
But I think that one's...
Y'all are rock stars.
Well, no,
sure.
But we are entertainers.
That's a little bit different, though. You think about, like, we can't really do too much damage except push a wrong button or something, maybe say the time wrong.
Maybe,
You do that without drinking.
I know. But someone on stage, they forget their line or their, you know, the words to the song.
Well, you've heard a lot of rumors about celebrities, you know, movie and TV, that they show up on the set drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
And try to get through their lines.
Well, also art was mentioned. So it's also those painters that are doing those crazy paintings.
That explains a lot.
Helps with creativity.
Picasso, he had to be drinking a lot because those heads just don't look real to me. And then number five on the list, utilities. 10% of people who work in utilities, they say, are heavy drinkers. Is that talking about like electricity and water plants and stuff like that?
I think so. I don't know.
Based on monopoly, that's what it would be, the power company, the water company.
Monopoly.
The utilities.
I think what you get there is a lot of monotonous jobs.
Yeah.
Like construction and utilities and stuff, because I worked for a hospital once during the summer, and I would basically go to their warehouse and load up all the saline boxes and all the needle boxes and all these things, take them to the hospital and distribute them, eat lunch, come back and do the same thing that afternoon, and it was mind-numbing.
Yeah.
You just basically, every day was a blur of the same thing as the day before. So, you wanted to do something to take away all that boringness whenever you got home.
And the thing is, when you have a monotonous job like a production line or a pilot where you're used to doing that, you can drink and get away with it.
Okay.
Kato, I think we need to talk.
Yeah. All right, next on the list, these are professions where people drink the most. Management. If you are managing people, your boss out there.
I'm managing my family. Does that count?
That does not.
It does.
No.
My wife does that too. She's like, it's 3 o'clock somewhere. She opens up the wine.
Let's pop the champagne.
I live alone. I'm managing me.
Yeah.
That's enough to drive you to drink.
You're managing a household.
Yes.
All right. Then manufacturing was next on the list. 9.7% of employees reported as heavy drinking in the I guess that's assembly lines and stuff like that. Building your car. Yep. You're thinking.
It's the same thing as the other, like, utilities and construction. It's a monotonous job.
You're thinking, okay, well, that button's in the wrong place. I bought this
car.
Well,
they're not drinking on the job.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Hopefully.
I know.
Fingers crossed.
How many car issues you got when you buy a new car?
Oh, there you go.
And then retail was
last.
Find
a beer can in the door.
That'd be funny.
Retail was last on the list. So 9% of people in retail are heavy drinkers.
Retail tends to go out and party afterwards, too.
When you deal with the public, that's not
it's
fun.
True.
I don't know if I could ever work a job where I'm dealing directly with the public.
And, well, you do every day here.
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just through calls.
I was going to say, just dealing with us makes you drink.
I wish the show was over right now.
Well, you can drink right now if that helps.
It's wine o'clock somewhere.
There you
right?
go.
I'll be right back.
Not this
Thirsty
early in
Thursday.
The morning.
You said now.
No, I did. His rules suck. I'm like, go ahead, grab something.
I don't have anything.
Quite frankly, you go through the desks somewhere in this building, there is some liquor somewhere.
I don't doubt there's beer in the fridge.
Sales department.
There you go.
Sales. The managers.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.